Thank you very much, Dan. And I greet all of you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to mention a couple of things. I won't go into great detail why I feel that way, except that to just ask you to consider. You know, some of us believe in homeschooling and some we don't. But most of the time when we talk about that thing, we're talking in the terms of the reading, writing, arithmetic, everything that educates them for life. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you that our school system in our land will not educate your children to believe in Jesus Christ. Won't tell you how important he is to their lives and his principles. This is a homeschooling project that we all have to do for our children. And so I'd like to point that out to you. I have several things to talk about this morning that may seem at first to be a little disconnected, but to start right out, I'll turn to the 19th chapter of the Book of Alma in the Book of Mormon. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, of course, but I am going to begin at verse 81 to give you a good picture of what I'm talking about to start us out. This is Alma talking to his son, Corey Anton, who has made a terrific mistake, and he's trying to get him back on the track. And so he's really, in straightforward language, addressing a situation and helping him to think in the way that he needs to correct it. And now, my son, I perceive there's somewhat more which doth worry your mind, which ye cannot understand, which is concerning the justice of God and the punishment of a sinner. For ye do try to suppose that it is injustice that the sinner should be consigned to a state of misery. And as we think about this thing, I'd like you to think about this. You think about the days of King Benjamin and the message that he had been given by an angel from God to give to his people. And as he gave this, it was, as you read afterwards, it was borne witness to by the Holy Spirit. It entered the hearts of the people. And they testified that they knew that that was God's Spirit because they didn't have any disposition to sin anymore. Well, but the things that he taught them were not understood by their minor children. And several chapters later, it tells you that those children grew up and for some reason or other had developed a great bias in their minds of a hard heart. And so they didn't understand the things. The point is, because of their hard heart, they did not understand the principles of righteousness. And that's what Alma is trying to help his son here with. understand what the principles of God's righteous designation and standard is. So I'll go on. Now behold, my son, I will explain this thing unto you, or unto thee. For behold, after the Lord God sent our first parents forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence they were taken, he drove out the man, and he placed in the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the tree of life. Now we see that the man had become as God, knowing good and evil, and lest he should put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, that the Lord God placed cherubim and a flaming sword that he should not partake of the fruit. And thus we see that there was a time granted unto man to repent, yea, a probationary time, a time to repent and serve God. For behold, Adam had put forth his hand immediately, or rather, behold, if Adam had put forth his hand immediately and partook of the tree of life, he would have lived forever, according to the word of God, having no space for repentance. Yea, and also the word of God would have been void, and the great plan of salvation would have been frustrated. But behold, it was appointed unto man to die. Therefore, as they were cut off from the tree of life, they should be cut off from the face of the earth, and man became lost forever. Yea, they became fallen man. And now we see by this that our first parents were cut off, both temporally and spiritually, from the presence of the Lord. And thus we see they became subject to follow their own will. Now behold, it was not expedient that man should be reclaimed from this temporal death, for that would destroy the great plan of happiness. Therefore, as the soul could never die, and the fall had brought upon all mankind a spiritual death as well as a temporal, that is, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Therefore, it was expedient that mankind should be reclaimed from this spiritual death. Therefore, as they had become carnal, sensual, and devilish by nature, this probationary state became a state for them to prepare. It became a preparatory state. And now remember, my son, if it were not for the plan of redemption, laying it aside, as soon as they were dead, their souls were miserable, being cut off from the presence of the Lord. Now there was no means to reclaim men from this fallen state, which man had brought upon himself because of his own disobedience. And in your lives, as you see things, and you even talk to others about the things that they did, a lot of the hardships that befell them came about because of their disobedience, the things that they had to come back from. And now there was no means to reclaim men from this fallen state, which man had brought upon himself because of his own disobedience. Therefore, according to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about only on conditions of repentance of men in this probationary state, yea, this preparatory state, for except if it were for these conditions, mercy could not take effect, except it should destroy the work of justice. Now the work of justice could not be destroyed. If so, God would cease to be God. And thus we see that all mankind were fallen, and they were in the grasp of justice, yea, the justice of God, which consigned them forever to be cut off from his presence. Now the plan of mercy could not be brought about except an atonement should be made. Therefore God himself atoneth for the sins of the world to bring about the plan of mercy to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, just God and a merciful God also. Now repentance could not come unto man except there were a punishment, which also was as eternal as the life of the soul should be, affixed opposite to the plan of happiness, which was as eternal as the life of the soul. Now, how could man repent except he should sin? How could he sin if there was no law? How could there be a law save there was a punishment? Now, there was a punishment affixed, and a just law given, which brought remorse of conscience unto man. Now, if there was no law given, if man murdered, he should die. Would he be afraid he should die if he should murder? And also, if there was no law given against sin, men would not be afraid to sin. But if there was no law given, if man sinned, what could justice do, or mercy either? They had no claim upon the creature. But there is a law given and a punishment affixed and repentance granted, which repentance mercy claimeth. Otherwise justice claimeth the creature and executeth the law, and the law inflicteth the punishment. If not so, the works of justice would be destroyed and God would cease to be God. But God ceaseth not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent. And mercy cometh because of the atonement, and the atonement bringeth to pass a resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. And thus they are restored unto his presence to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exercises all his demands, and also mercy claimeth all which is her own. And thus none but the truly penitent are saved. This is an example of the things being described by this man who had been given this understanding by the Almighty. And he had recorded it to pass it along to us, that all men should be brought to repentance. And if they will not, then they bring themselves to eternal damnation. And these are the things, not because God does not love them, because he does. It wrenches his heart when he sees this happen. But he didn't bring this on us as a surprise. He let us know at the earliest possible moment, as he sent angels and the power of the Holy Ghost into the hearts of men from the very beginning, that they might know, that they might understand. And as they did, there are special words that we are told. I'd like to turn now to the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Now, I'm not saying these are the only words that you should look at, but it tells you here that there are some words that you should look at and give special attention to. Verse 86 on page 662 in the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place. that I shall gather in from their long dispersions my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. And behold, this is the thing which I will give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my people, which shall be scattered by them. Verily, verily, I say unto you that when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land, and be set up as a free people by the power of the Father, and that these things might come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity, for thus it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he must show forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know of the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people which are of the house of Israel. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall be considered. For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be a great and marvelous work among them. And there shall be among them which will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand. Therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Yet I will heal him, for I will shew unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe my words, which am Jesus Christ, which the Father will cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. And my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hands shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. The thing I call to your attention to show you that there are some special words that we're supposed to give heed to doesn't mean that there's not a lot of words in the scripture to consider and that they are needful. But these words, if you don't believe them, it says, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the house of Israel. And those are the words of Jesus Christ. I'll give you another example. I won't take the time to read it all. But in Isaiah, beginning at, there's probably more area that you should cover, but beginning at verse chapter 9 and going through chapter 9, he's telling what's happened to Israel, what's going to happen. And as it happens, he gives them a sign so that they know what he's talking about. That this is going to happen, and this sign turns out to be what? That a virgin is going to conceive by the power of the Holy Ghost and bear a child. That sign was the same kind of a sign for you. If you don't turn to that sign, the birth of that child, there is no hope for you. That is the source of all the mercy that has been focused and handed to the children of men, all the entire family of Adam. All of the same. So we need to realize. Another example I'll give to you. This Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, came to earth and grew up through young childhood, learned from his parents to trade to support himself. He grew through adolescence into adulthood. And you know, we're always talking in our trying to consider one another the trauma that is always involved when somebody has to give up their homeland or different things like that. Well, when Jesus was 2 years old, and you say to yourself, well, 2 years old, that's too young, he probably wouldn't even remember it. You want to know something? I couldn't for a moment compare me to the Lord Jesus. But when I was 2 years old, I played in a car that I remembered in detail, in a garage. And as I grew on up, I couldn't remember for sure where that was, but I remembered it all happening. I talked to my older brother after years and years of talking to different people about that. I didn't happen to talk to him. He says, are you sure you're remembering that? Nobody ever told you about that. And I said, no, nobody ever knows where that came from the memory of that. Well, he says, Marvin, don't you know, before we moved to Independence, we lived in Cameron, and that was the only new car your dad ever had. And he had it just before he got hurt from the railroad company, and he had to sell it. So I know this Lord Jesus, even at 2 years old, when he had to be uprooted from his homeland, from a people that spoke a language that was different to a different land. And he was taken to Egypt, and he grew, and he came back, of course, before he was 12. But in those years, between the 2 years old and the 12 years old, I was privileged to learn how to read the words of a sacred book. But he had to learn it in a different language. It was Egyptian. So he endured these things. He felt them himself. But he never lost his focus on what was going on. He never lost his focus from what his father had asked him to do as he learned as he grew up. He passed through horrendous circumstances because he obviously knew that he was taken away to Egypt to save his life. Because after he left and went to Egypt, Herod the king sent forth the soldiers when the wise men came, because they didn't come at his birth, they came when he was about 2 years old. And when they got to see him, they came to the house that he lived in, and he lived in Bethlehem. And Herod the king went to his soothsayers and all those that are supposed to know all those things, and they searched in the record and found where this king was supposed to be, that the new star was going to lead them to. And because of that, Herod felt threatened in his kingship. And so he had all the children in Bethlehem killed, 2 years old and younger. We talked about some things in Sunday school this morning. And it's funny how a lot of times these subjects all come up at the same time. That what happens if somebody lets go of the rod of iron, for instance? How tenacious are we supposed to be about our love for God? I know you've heard me mention this before, but I sometimes hesitate to repeat it because it's something that happened to me. And I don't know how to let you know about it except in words, and they fail me. When I come back from Germany years ago, we were on a hospital ship. And I won't tell you all that happened, but we had a hurricane. And this hurricane almost sunk the ship. Destroyed it, couldn't be salvaged, but somehow they got it to port. And when they got it to port, everybody survived except 5 men that didn't do what they were asked. And we all found that out. They thought because you had a porthole that had glass in it that was probably 3.5 inches thick, maybe 4, that would defend you from the sea when it was angry. It didn't. We all battened the hatches and put the steel plate over that and bolted it shut. And that helped. But when a heavy sea came and the ship was submerged for a short duration as things come on, the water poured in that compartment and they had to seal it off. They couldn't get those men out. But they didn't do what they were supposed to. The way this is worded, it makes you think that you need to really search the words of Jesus Christ and believe them. And I might emphasize the fact that this is when people talk about the unbelief, and it's mentioned in the third chapter of Hebrews. I was going to read that to you, but that's too much. The reason why the people who went 40 years in the wilderness, you know, Caleb and Joshua and some others were sent down in the land of Canaan to search it out to see what they were going to have to face when they came in to possess the land. And they came back and they told all the stories to the people, and there were giants in the land, and everybody decided that they weren't going to try to go over there. They didn't believe that when God said that he was going to take care of them and make things work for them, they didn't believe that. And so they didn't have faith in God to keep a promise, just like we have to believe the things that God tells us he will do in order for us to have faith in him that he will forever keep his promise. Because both of those things are true. First, we have to believe it. Then we can have faith in him that he is our God and he will make things work just like he said. To kind of back that up, there is a prophecy of one of the minor prophets that I want to read to you. And it's the third chapter of Zephaniah. Now, in the former chapters, chapters 1 and 2 is talking about things that are going to happen to the house of Israel. And all of it's going to happen because of wickedness. And I'll start at verse 1 on chapter 3. And in this address in chapter 3 is focused mainly on their capital city, I'll call it, Jerusalem. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She knew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. I'll come back here because I forgot to pass another thing on to you. And it's strange that when things happen like this hurricane thing and we were able to come through it and we knew that it was the hand of God that did it, the thoughts that come into your mind, even in those days when you wouldn't call me a very nice fella, but at the same time, it was proven to me beyond a doubt. Because the first thing that came to mind was the picture of Jesus and his disciples on the sea when the storm came up. and they woke him. And he said to the wind and the waves to be still, and there was a great calm. Even though this hurricane was there and we didn't get a great calm out of it, I knew that that God that controlled that wind and that waves had brought this ship back to port. And so we have to really listen to the words that he put out. I'll go on with Zephaniah. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. And the reason I'm reading this is to show you all of these things Christ was aware of. He was running into this every day of his adult life when he began to take up his ministry and to build his church. He knew what he was running into. I'll read that fourth verse again. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. And I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden, Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that holdeth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. I know there are some that would read this and say, well, that can't all happen before the end. But the Lord has made me aware that it will. It's almost like we get an idea in our mind and we're gonna say all these things and prove them because this is the way it's got to fit together. But don't let that happen to you. It's not that I'm threatening you with bad things, because here when it says, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, he's given me a realization that that wait doesn't mean sit down and twiddle your thumbs. It means that you do what the Lord Jesus said to Jerusalem. Would you please do this? And they wouldn't do it. In our waiting for him, we're supposed to be doing the services like he asked us to do, to be the kind of people he asked us to be, to love each other in the way that we should. And this is the preparation. I come to you again saying, we have an outcry that we need to prepare. And the preparation is, read the words of Jesus Christ that tells you what kind of a person you ought to be inside and out. And when you are, you will be waiting on the Lord in the way Zephaniah is talking about. And when he needs something done, he'll be able to let you know. And he'll be there with you to help you get it done. I guess that's the big message that I have that he has given me to bring to you today. But there is one other thing that I wanted to tell you, and this comes, I believe, from the, if I can turn to it, it's in 2 Nephi, it's in a prophecy back here. Yes, it's in the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. And this is a rule of God that is constant and is never going to change. And this is the way it goes. I'll begin at verse 75 on page 158. Now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. He's talking to his own people. And man, he's talking about the Gentiles and any other nationality, as you'll see here. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. And as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, Save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. It always comes back to that. If you want an additional thing, I'll refer you to the fifth chapter of Alma. And Alma is trying to talk to the people about things that keep them in the right way and trying to build up the church. And as he did this, he said, there's a lot of things that I could talk to you about, and they're all important, but there's one that is more important than all of them. And then he goes on to talk about Jesus being born of a virgin at Jerusalem. And it tells about his life and the choosing of the apostles and all that. That was more important than everything else, because everything else had to have that to guide it. So as we look about these things, let's recognize how great our God is and how faithful he is to keep his word. He's promised that if we would keep the commandments that he has given us, we would prosper in the land. If we're not prospering as a nation, what's the reason? We've had a time here. This is the first year in a while, I know. I can't tell you in history because I don't know that. That there's had three hurricanes in a matter of 6 weeks that have had landfall on the U.S. soil. These are things that we don't have any control over. And you say, yes, well, we had some control over this fellow killing all those people over in Las Vegas. But that's a way that Satan tries to intervene to get you mixed up in your mind of why these things are happening. We don't have to be afraid. And I know we're told this, and it's hard to believe, and it's written that he's going to watch over those that serve him. And as we try to do these things, we pray that we can do it in a way that he'll be pleased to see. But I guess my purpose in life almost is to let people know that this Jesus Christ, this Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy Messiah, he's real. Yes, he's a high priest also. But he is the one that lasts forever. He was resurrected. And so we need to realize that if angels come to us, if they don't say things that are similar to or like the things that have been said that we know as the Word of God, you need to give it some question. Because all of our measure of what we do comes from the Word of God and this Holy Messiah. I pray that your hearts absorb this like I hope mine has. I love every one of you. I hope you have good lives, everyone. And I pray, I guess I just ask that you'll pray for me as well, because I know how important it is. I guess I feel like you might ask me the question, well, how do you know you have to do this? Brothers and sisters, the shame of my life is I tried it another way, and it doesn't work. It's not the right way. It's the only way. This Jesus Christ shows you the way. If you try another way, you can do it, but it won't work. May God bless all of you.